The Glorious Church is a reflection of God's beauty, character, and nature. The Glorious Church is God's workmanship, created for good works, light for a dark world, and salt for the earth. The Glorious Church must be pure and impactful, for it is the only institution mandated to bring life and hope to the nations. Plug in to the annual theme of the Church of Pentecost for 2020. A glorious church to possess the nations. Come, let us drink deep from the word through which we are being cleansed and washed to become a radiant church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, God's timely word for our dying world.
Peace in my heart.
Give me peace.
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Heavenly Father, once again, we give you all the glory, the praise, and adoration. Lord, we appreciate the fact that you are God. You are our Lord and our King. We commit this evening's service into your hands, O God. Continue to reign in our midst and bless us through your word. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many thanks to the Almighty God for this opportunity to come your way once again. We bless God for his sustenance and his grace upon our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This evening I'll continue the discussion on living a victorious Christian life.
This
a continuation of the message I preached last Sunday. We are still mindful of the fact that we want to build a glorious church to possess the nations. This pandemic should not take our minds off our goal at all. So I'll continue with living a victorious Christian life. I shall assume in this ministration that you heard me on Sunday. See, the victorious Christian life begins from where Jesus left off. At his death, it begins from where Jesus left off. His death, we said, it purchased for us eternal redemption, which gave us eternal life, and we have inherited the promised Holy Spirit. This is enough for us to live a victorious Christian life. It is enough for us to reign in life as Christians. It is sufficient for a victorious life in Christ Jesus. His death on the cross gives us complete authority and power over sin, the world, and Satan. We are talking about authority and power over sin. The world and Satan. It's all parts of the benefits of the cross. The new creation is really loaded with grace. The new creation is loaded with grace. But having said this, you see the difference of the effect of any two Christian lives is not how long they have stayed in the church. Or how long they have been born again. The difference of the effects of any two Christian lives. It's not how long they've been born again. Or how long they've been in the church. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It is like what Oswald Chambers said the other time. The true character of a spiritual person is the ability to understand correctly The meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ in his or her life. The meaning to understand correctly. The meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ in his or her life. That makes the difference. That makes the difference between one Christian and the other. Not how long they've been born again. Or they've lived in the church. But their correct understanding of who Jesus is in their life. You see, the Christ in you is a hope of the manifestation of the glory of God on earth. But someone will need to teach him. Someone will have to pray the Christian to understand what it means to have Christ in his life. To this end, the Apostle Paul labored. He said, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I labor. He's working very hard that those who have been born again
will
understand what it means to be in Christ. He works very hard. This one is described in Acts chapter 26 as the opening of eyes. The opening of eyes. The opening of eyes. So we will know who we are in Christ. Or what it means for Christ to dwell in us. I pray that our eyes of understanding be enlightened, that we will know him and understand him and be committed to him. You see, the Apostle Paul was teaching in Acts chapter 17. For me, this is my definition of teaching. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was still working very hard to get certain people to understand. And this is what the Bible says. See, Paul went to the Jews, and he started by trying to persuade them. And this is what the scripture says. As his custom was, he entered the synagogue. Paul went into the synagogue. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining, proving,
He
reasoned with them. Explaining. Proving. He reasoned with them. Explaining. Proving. That Jesus is the Messiah.
Say Yesu ni Messiah.
This is what I will call teaching.
Explaining.
Reasoning. Proving.
Now
you see all this.
Now
so that the believer will know what it means for Christ to indwell a man. So he was explaining. He was reasoning. Explaining. Reasoning. Trying to persuade them that people will know what it means to be a Christian. See, the eternal life we have received is a package. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. This is what the scripture says. Even though we speak like this, Dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. Things that accompany salvation. Things that accompany salvation. Things that come with salvation. Things that belong to salvation. So when you have eternal life,
it is over down,
and you are saved, certain things accompany salvation. And those things are not outside you. They are on the inside of you. I'm saying that the Christian is heavily loaded. He only needs a good teacher to open things up to him. He has power over salvation. Power over Satan. Power over the world. He is able to reign in life through the eternal spirit and the eternal life that we have received. Things that accompany salvation. It is like what the Bible says in Psalm 103. I'm saying that it is like. But what we have is more than this. Psalm 103. From verse 1. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. All my innermost beings, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits. See, benefits are not the real salary. They are added. The things that are added to you.
Niema ye kan fasodi eka hunenya aketuya ne pa nemum eye de ebata bata aketuya no ho.
Added advantage.
Eye adem aketuya no ho niema efo afa.
Forget not all his benefits.
Ema urem fini ne ye pa
ina. But it starts from somewhere.
Na efrase efri baby.
Who forgives all your sins?
Onu no de onfom so eche wo.
Once your sins are forgiven and you are
born ne che wo no je wo nkwa.
It is like what Psalm 103 is saying,
and
he heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pits, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed. Forget not all his benefits. There are benefits associated with salvation. A teacher will have to explain. Somebody will have to reason. Somebody will have to open it up to
him.
So that we will know that in Christ, we are not weaklings. So we can live victorious Christian lives. The new life comes with so much hope. So much grace. And this grace that God gives us produces effects. The watching worlds, you see this glorious difference. That the eternal life has brought to us a changed life. See, the Nicodemuses should be able to come and ask us, what is the reason for your changed life? Because the new life, the eternal life, it is not eternal death, it is life. So it must produce effects.
If he said, da enkwa no, enye da enkwa, enye owo,
it is life. It must produce effects. Something on the inside should be able to work on the inside till it comes on the outside. When you meet a drunkard, you don't drink on your head. You don't use the liquor to smear your face. But they drink so much. They drink into their belly. And somehow you can see from their face that this man is a drunkard. It is creating effects on the face. It affects the way he walks.
Sometimes,
when you look at his lips, nobody will tell you that this man is a drunkard. The eternal life on the inside should produce effects that the watching world should see.
Amaria,
the name of the Lord. Paul said, because of me. They praise God. Because of the changed life. Nicodemus went to Jesus by
Nicodemus
night.
Called Jesus
and he said, I know you don't come from here.
Those
of us who live here, you don't behave the way you do.
Once
he was saying that, Jesus understood him. And his answer to Nicodemus is that, do you want to be born again? What he was trying to say is this: when you get born again, and my life come into you, you produce the same effects. And greater works than this shall ye do. Because I go to the Father. And when I go, the Spirit will come and indwell in you. The Apostle Paul said this: by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. Grace, eternal life, should produce effects. See, you can't say, I'm a Christian. Show it by your good works. When news got to Peter's and the James, in Jerusalem, that Antioch have received the gospel, they sent
Barnabas
to the brethren in Antioch. When he arrived, the scripture says, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. This is Acts 11, verse 23. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, other version says, what the grace of God had done. Titus said that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching us to say no to ungodliness. The grace of eternal life. That's things in our lives. There must be the evidence of eternal life and eternal Holy Spirit in your life. Somebody must teach him. Somebody should explain. Somebody should reason with this one. Otherwise, you'll be like the Ethiopian eunuch who will go to Jerusalem and serve and worship and still will not understand the ABC of the word.
Anya sa obeye se Ethiopian ino a okọ Jerusalem ekosum ya asem no de yatwere no wanti ase.
This is about the eternal life in us.
See,
the promised Holy Spirit on our lives is the one who anoints. When he's on your life, you are anointed. You don't need olive oil.
Olive oil.
The Apostle Paul says, it is he who anointed us.
Osmanfo Paul says,
by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is upon me. He has anointed me. And I want to say that once the Holy Spirit is upon your life, he has anointed you. The Holy Spirit is described as the Spirit of Christ. And this Spirit of Christ is in you.
He
is the power of God. He is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. He is the incomparably great power for us who believe. He is a creator God. When he's in you, he will give you creative ideas. He gives creative ideas. The Bible calls him the comforter, the teacher and the guide, our helper, the revealer of secrets. He reveals the hidden things of God.
Paul
says he is the mind of Christ.
Paul says, Christ.
He is our strength,
our
glory, our redeemer, and the like. Isaiah 11 says this. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Look at how he described the Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah 11 verse
2.
The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That is Jesus. But today I'm saying that he's also resting on you, the new Christian. The Spirit of wisdom. He is the Spirit of wisdom. You see, we cannot act foolishly if the Holy Spirit is in your life.
Amen.
He's the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He is in you. What manner of person are you? Living a victorious Christian life. His presence in us. His presence in us. Is God visiting you? That is a prophecy concerning when he was born. God has visited you. And he comes into your life with gifts and graces. You see, when God visits you, you never just come empty-handed. So the Holy Spirit never came into your life empty-handed, not at all. The scripture says, now to each of us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, another a message of knowledge, to another faith, and the like. So he comes into our life with giftings and graces.
Oh,
to make us strong and to equip us to reign in life. Live above reproach. Catch spirits by the discerning power that you have. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord quicken himself in your life. May the Lord do that. He has brought in us graces and giftings. This is how much the Christian is loaded. Beyond everything else, he is the Holy Spirit. There could be mighty men and mighty gods. That is why the Bible is careful to describe him as the Almighty. Because the Bible is saying that there could be mighty people. But when it comes to him, he's the Almighty.
But
when it comes to holiness, there is none other. I challenge you to show me anyone that you know, any God that is a holy God. My interest in the teaching this evening is that the eternal life and the promised eternal Holy Spirit in our lives will cause us to live above reproach.
And he said, Dankwa. Any da home na etiemunu, or bebuaya maya babrabua, a fin any dem anyo.
In this perverse world,
Ebo viasia aproi.
The Holy Spirit in your life.
Oh, home crunkra or wabrabumunu.
And this, or should I should say, this holy life which is introduced into your life. And
now, Mamikani said, Ababa crunkra, what the abba wabrabumunu.
The sin nature immediately fights it.
It
is like antibodies fighting a strange agent introduced into the body.
So
struggle ensues once the Holy Spirit comes into your life.
Galatians 5:15.
See, the Bible says this.
Now, this is to
a Christian church. And I want to ask you, why is all these things happening in a Christian church? If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, in the church, they are biting and devouring one another. And then the Apostle Paul says that this thing should not be. Why is the Spirit in them? Why do they have eternal life yet they are biting and devouring one another? Somebody will have to teach them the meaning of Christ in their lives. So the Apostle Paul comes around. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Now once the Holy Spirit is introduced into your life, the sin nature battles it. But you see, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ,
now so trying to say,
he is a new creation.
Now
the old is gone. The new has come. So once the Holy Spirit is introduced in your life, the old must give way. The new should reign. So the conflict starts. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other. So that you, the new, the believer, are not able to do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. Now, when you don't allow the Spirit to overrule the sin nature, you can be a Christian, but you'll be committing sexual immorality. Impurity and debauchery. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions can be in churches, envy and drunkenness, urges and the like. I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But he was talking to Christians. They are living below the standard. They are living under the authority of sin. Meanwhile, the eternal life and the eternal Holy Spirit is given to them to equip them to live above reproach.
And
the Apostle Paul continues. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And now listen to 24. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. The brethren in Galatia
They
did not know
that
they are more than conquerors.
And
that anyone who belongs to
Christ should
crucify the flesh
so that
they don't become Christian adulterers.
They have
crucified the passion and the desire of the flesh. This is the teaching of the Apostle Paul.
But
please lift up your head and look at me. Crucifixion does not necessarily mean
death.
The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Yet he said, nevertheless, I live.
And so I say, and so,
when you are crucified, it doesn't necessarily mean death. Two people were crucified on the cross together with Christ. They were crucified. But you see, when the soldiers went, they found them still alive. What would have happened if the soldier decided to untie them and bring them back home? Would they have died?
It would give this and
so when you are crucified with Christ,
it is it
doesn't mean you lose your desires and feelings. But in your mind, tell yourself that I have signed the death certificate of this feeling. So I shouldn't obey its desires. That is what it means by to be crucified with Christ. But if you leave the body crucified on the cross for a long time, the body will die.
So
we are saying that crucifixion does not mean lost of feelings.
Lost
of desires.
And I said, nakono de ayira.
But you see, that person's overriding passion is Christ. He never allowed anything to divert his sight from Christ. Other things have no growing fascination for him.
See,
the Apostle Paul explained it when he was teaching the Romans.
Romans chapter 6.
I'll take verse 6:11
there.
For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. In the same way, that is verse 11,
Sarah,
count yourself dead to sin. So to be crucified with Christ is to get count yourself dead to sin. But alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Then he said,
therefore, once you count yourself as dead to sin and crucified with Christ, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not let. So it depends on you. Sin reign in your mortal body.
So that
you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death dead to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master.
Na boniri ni moso.
Because you are not under the law of sin.
If he said muni emrase,
but under grace.
Na mumuwo adomase.
Crucifixion does not necessarily mean death.
Say ye kase wabo bia se nwuma no nchere se wewu.
But when you deny the crucified body life for a long time, the crucified body will die.
Nemo onipa na yabo na se nwuma kono yabo na se nwuma se wanfa de ope amma no e pretentin a ono so obewu.
The apostle Paul then sums it up.
It was what for Paul e boni tofa se.
No, I strike a blow to my body.
And yet, me shep me honam so.
And make it my slave.
Na me mame honam ya makwa.
So that after I have preached to others,
ama maka nya me se machre binu.
I myself will not be disqualified for this prize.
Well, mumi se obia omfra.
I bring my body under subjection.
Me di me honam so.
I have desires.
Me wa akono de.
I have feelings.
Me wa atenka de.
I have my own opinions.
Me wa madwene de.
But I have crucified the sin nature.
And so my bo.
So I bring it under subjection. So that Christ will rule in my life. Not the sin nature.
You see,
let's go to the Old Testament. And examine three lives. Of some three righteous people. Then we bring this ministry to a close. Ezekiel 14.
Odifo Ezekiel woman iti dunai.
Verse 13 and 14.
Nti chemu du mi ensa eni dunai no.
Son of man.
Onipaba.
If a country sins against me by being unfaithful.
Se oman bi eni mi no kre na waya boniti ya mia.
And I stretch out my hand against it.
Na meti ni minsa eti ya wonga.
To cut off its food supply.
And
send famine upon it and kill its people.
And their
animals.
Even
if these three men.
Now
listen to their names.
I
didn't write this Bible.
But
I envy these three men. If they were to write again, I would have wished that they added my name.
Senka wotro 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 no fofra. Kame pesen ko di midin beka hobi.
Say these four men.
Na ngoma ka say sa nipa nan.
Even if these three men.
Impo se nipa miensan.
Noah.
Daniel.
Job.
Hiob.
Were in it.
Se wo wo mu a.
They could save only themselves.
One day will be to me aje wan won ho kwa.
By their righteousness.
When I'm one train, so.
Declares the sovereign law.
Three
people. If you like, examine their lives.
Opa.
If you have to take David.
David.
Bathsheba will come into your mind. If you don't like Bathsheba, Uriah will come. If you take Abraham. Straight away, Hagar will come.
Moses.
The crashing of the law and his anger will come.
Only the nebufo any onyango pon semwa or country form enu ebebawadu.
He will say, tell people don't marry anybody outside Israel. He himself will go and marry.
Oh Moses, who catch him for Israel? Must say, mama wari mfi amama mufo. Na wo wakwako wari efri amame.
But check this three men.
Na mumi yewe sani pami ense.
Noah. Daniel.
Job.
Hiob. The Bible says their righteousness will save themselves. When there's an evil in the land and they want to plead, as their righteousness will save themselves, but it will not even save the others.
Na se ohabi ba, san krofu mi ensen, one train ebeje wonkwa na enye omai muni na.
What kind of life did they live?
Abrabo ben na wo boye.
In the midst of their perverse generation. I will take Daniel and Job.
Daniel and Hiob.
And I will summarize it with Noah. Daniel
1
verse
8.
This is a very popular
test.
But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine.
Na Daniel si na dream pise, onfa ohene duane enwu ni hu fi.
And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, two things are involved here. Food. And the law of God. But Daniel resolved.
Now, Daniel born it
he resolved not to defile himself
with
the king's food.
Now,
certainly, the king's food will be more appetizing than the leaves he was asking for.
But
he has resolved. This one, Ravi Sagarais will say that you must draw a line of resistance. So Daniel drew a line of resistance,
Daniel
saying that I will not cross this line. I will not cross this line. He resolved in his mind. He resolved in his mind that I will not do this. Number two, he disciplined his appetites. He disciplined his appetite. So if you are a Christian and you don't draw the lines, you'll be walking in the devil's corridor. You may not even know. Draw the lines of resistance. Tell yourself, for the sake of Christ, there are certain things I would not do. And discipline your appetite. More money and much money. Even money that does not belong to you. Womanizing. Following of men. See, you are a Christian, you can do that because you have not disciplined your appetite. Now, let's look at Job. Job
27.
Verse
3.
Job 27, verse
3.
Now, this is Job. As long as I have life within me, the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not say anything wicked, and my tongue will not utter lies. Look at that man. I want you to know why God is calling these people righteous. They have feelings. They have crucified their body. They are doing all this for the sake of God. In the midst of perverse world. As long as I have life within me and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not say anything wicked, and my tongue will not utter lies. He has drawn a line of resistance. I will not cross this one. Look at Job 31:1. Very popular verse. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. He disciplined his appetites. So this evening I want to encourage you. For the sake of Christ.
Christ
and the glorious church. Draw lines of resistance. And discipline your appetite. The eternal life in you. And the promised Holy Spirit. Has equipped you to be able to do that. Yours is to have them that mind of Christ. And follow this righteous man. Let Job,
Daniel,
and Noah speak to you.
Now,
once you block the sinful nature, then The new life will work itself to every fabric of your life. Consciously and unconsciously. To your whole being is changed and transformed. I'm saying that block the sin nature.
And
give the eternal life space. By the help of the Holy Spirit to work its life into every part of your being. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. That a woman took and mixed in into about 60 pounds of flour. Until it worked all through the dough. The spirit you have received, when you give him space, will work itself in your life. Until the life of Christ
is
seen in your very body. We can live above reproach. Such kind of life, he no longer looks at things in the same way. His desires are new and the old has lost its power of attraction. His values have changed. He doesn't walk any longer as the Gentiles would do. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the new creation can live a victorious life in the midst of a corrupt world. It can shine like stars in the darkness. So let us endeavor by the help of the Holy Spirit. Draw lines of resistance. Let us discipline our appetites. Let us serve God. Like the Daniels.
She said the Daniel.
Like the Noahs.
She said the Noah.
Like the Jobs.
She said the Hiob.
Listen to what the Bible summarizes concerning them. In the land of Uz. There lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Noah. This is the account of
Noah
and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. This is about Daniel. The administrators and the satrap tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel. In his conduct of government affairs. But listen to this. This is a man born of a woman. The Bible says, they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Let
Noah,
Job,
Hiob,
and Daniel, challenge you tonight. God bless us.
In
this island, to follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Oh, I have decided.
pese ye transi manyame. Ye pese ye die hun na emanyame. Ye pese ninti ye pa wiase. Na ye twi wiase. Pese obebia wo bia opegya wone. Na sabre ye die hun na ebo urade empire. Se urade so ye mu ebia. Na mayen tumi fa ye hun na fansom. Na ye ndi wechi wo me mompae. Ome me mompae bebia wo bia. Erade ye bompa wo Yesu dim ye de sero erade. Ye de ye ho to afori buchia no so. Erade bo ye ni Kristo Yesu ascendium. Erade bo ye ni Kristo Yesu ascendium. Crucify us, oh God. Crucify us, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, we want to live for you. We want to live like the Daniels. We want to live. We want to live like the Daniels. We want to live like the Noahs. We want to live like the Jobs, oh God. That it shall be said of us that we are blameless, oh God. And that even in this corrupt world, oh God, we shall live for you. And we shall live blamelessly and righteously in holy life. In the name of Jesus, today, oh God, we lift up our voices before you. We lift up our voices before you, oh God. Save us, oh God, and help us, oh God. Let the Spirit of God help us and energize us, oh God. May we be strengthened, oh God, to live a victorious Christian life. We want to live a victorious Christian life. We want to follow you all the days of our lives. That we shall be crucified, oh God. That we shall be crucified, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Touch our minds, oh God. Touch our hearts, oh God. Touch us today, oh God, as we stand before you, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ. That we will live for you, oh God, and you alone. A touch of you can change my life. And set my soul on fire. As we sing this song, we ask him to touch our lives. A touch of you can change my life. Tonight, oh God, we need your touch. We have resolved, like Daniel resolved, that we shall not defile ourselves with the king's meat. Tonight, we ask that you touch our hearts and you touch our minds. In the name of Jesus, that we would discipline our appetite. Father, we want to be like the Jobs, that it will be said of us that we are blameless and we are righteous. And that if something is being sought about us, just us, oh God, Daniel, nothing was found in him. We pray that you will help us. Today, we draw the line of resistance. That for your sake and in your name, we shall not go beyond this line of resistance, but we shall control our appetite. Father, our desires are before you. Touch us. Change our lives. And let us live for you forever and ever. Amen.
Bring me to your bosom.